Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's Wednesday, July 9th, 2014, and we're having a thunderstorm here in usually sunny Clearwater, Florida, but that's typically our summer weather pattern, and so it's very nice to have our thunderstorms cool down the weather here. It's just the way nature works, and it's wonderful. Today, we're actually going to be talking about nature. We're going to be talking about the environment and toxic chemicals. Usually, we talk about health and home and toxic exposures, but today, we're going to talk about trees and toxics. And my guest is Shannon Smith. She's the communications and user voice at ecosia.org. And what Ecosia does is that it's a search engine that helps the environment by planting trees as you search the web. So all of the CO2 that they produce relating to all the searches that we do is offset by planting trees. And so today we're going to be talking about trees and how our actions, such as searching on the web and other things, affect air pollution, what trees do to help us with air pollution, and how air pollution damages trees. So we're going to be looking at the bigger picture today, outside the four walls of our homes, to see how our actions produce toxic chemicals that affect the environment. Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Deborah. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Shannon is speaking to us all the way from Berlin, where Ecosia is based. And Shannon, why don't we start by, tell us a little bit more about Ecosia.
Sure. And the last bad of my fears for having a thunderstorm as well. Absolutely everything comes through. Ecosia is, just like you kind of described, a search engine that basically plants trees. It's just like Google or Yahoo or any of those guys, except that we take 80% of our advertising revenue that we earn from the search engine, and we donate that to a program we're partnering with. It's the Nature Conservancy's Plant a Billion Trees Project. And they have several different programs. One is concentrated in the tropical rainforest, one of them in Brazil called the Atlantic Forest. And that's a portion of forest on the coast, the eastern coast of Brazil. It also kind of runs into some of the most heavily populated areas in Brazil. So it's one of the parts of the rainforest that's most underserved from deforestation.
Good. And how did you get interested in working in this field?
I've always been interested in sustainability issues and kind of simplifying things and going back to nature. And, you know, you talk a lot about toxicity and things like that, and sickness and you know, overconsumption. There's just different things that all lead back to what feels like the same issue, and that is that there's an overtaxing of the resources we have in the world, and this desire to produce things cheaply causes us to produce goods using methods that that are destructive, whether that's by producing a product that is toxic based on what it's made of or what it's been made with or how it's been made, the resources that were used to make it. So I feel like all of these things connect very closely, and sustainability is a concept in terms of using the resources we have from the earth basically in a way that future generations can also, you know, still have those resources and benefit from them. That seems to be like the only real way forward. And in a way, when, you know, you look at the growing population of the world and the way we're all using resources, it seems like it just makes sense to kind of take a look at what we're doing, what we're producing, how we're producing it, and to do it in a way where we can all survive, or the next few generations can survive well and healthily. And I think it would solve a lot of the problems we're experiencing now, I mean, which are, you know, many. So that was where my interest originated. And then I found Ecosia, and it was a perfect fit in terms of, you know, a movement and an effort that proves that small changes can make a big difference. So.
Well, one of the things about this is that it's something that each one of us can do without much effort at all. Like mm-hmm. Speaking to my listeners now, the only way that I see anything different on my screen, I signed up And it's free and it's easy. It takes about a minute to switch over. And and the thing, it has a very nice little banner at the top that's kind of teal blue and a nice little logo. And so the only thing that I see different than using any other search engine is that it's got a little counter at the top that tells me how many trees have been planted to offset my use. And so I don't have to do anything except go about searching the internet just the way I usually would. The search results come from Yahoo and Bing, but you also, there's a little tab at the top that you can switch to Google if you want. There's a tab for images and maps and videos, and so it's just as easy as using any other search engine, except that as you use it, it plants trees. Is that about it?
Exactly. No, it's perfectly described. Yep.
Thank you. Thank you. And so there's no, I don't see any reason why anybody shouldn't just sign up with you and get trees planted as you, as they search the web. And as we go through the show today, we'll give a lot more information about why it's important to plant trees and how that benefits toxics in our world.
Definitely. And yeah, that's one of the things we were most excited about when we realized that people were really interested in the search engine when it was first founded back at the end of 2009. And that is that it's just something easy. It's a place for people to meet and kind of come together to contribute to something, to make it better. And it's also something important to feel strength in numbers when you can realize that my collective contributions with a community of like-minded people have the potential to truly make a positive difference in reducing toxicity in the world and reducing carbon emissions and different things like that, these things that are all kind of, you know, threatening the well-being of the people and the planet itself, you know, throughout the world. So, yeah.
I wanted to, you covered this kind of briefly when you were talking earlier, but I wanted to just say, so that our listeners understand, where do you get the money to plant these trees? If you're offering a free service. And so you explained to me the other day, but you explain how your advertising works.
Sure. Yeah, this is interesting because I think a lot of people aren't quite clear on how search engines in general earn their money. There are actually only, two, maybe three major search engines with their own search indexes in the world. There's a few, definitely. There's Yandex in Russia and different things like that. But definitely in the U.S., we've got Google and Yahoo, which has actually come together with Bing in the last couple of years. I think they share the same search index. Search engines, everybody's seen them. They display ads on the side of search results or above them, these sponsored links. And every time a person searching with a search engine and clicks on an ad, that's worth a certain number of cents. Sometimes you even have affiliate links wrapped up in the search results, and if a purchase is made through one of those affiliate links, oftentimes you'll have 3 to 5% of the purchase price going to the search engine displaying the links or to a company that's distributing these affiliate links throughout the web. So there are a lot of people profiting from these ads that we're kind of like bombarded with every day on the web, and sometimes subtly, sometimes not so subtly. And it's obviously a huge industry. It's kind of like the lifeblood of the web is this model, this advertising model. So what we've kind of done is, you know, everybody, it's kind of what makes the world go round. Everybody is a part of this, but what we've decided to do is take that money we'd normally get from these Yahoo ads that are displayed on our site, and we've promised users to donate 80% of all of that ad revenue to a tree planting program. We've chosen the Nature Conservancy's Plant a Billion Trees program in the Atlantic Forest in Brazil, like we said. But exactly, all that money comes from the revenue we earn from the ads that are displayed on the site.
Right, and those, that revenue comes by users clicking through, probably PayPal or something like that. And so when you're using this, the more you click, the more money they get, the more trees they can plant. We need to go to break, but we'll be right back. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. My guest today is Shannon Smith from, how do you say it, Ecosia. And we'll be talking more about toxics and trees. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Shannon Smith. She's the communications and user voice. What does that mean? Communications and user voice.
Sure,
what do you
it
do?
Is. I've worked for the time that I've been with Ecosia on the kind of that connection between the users we have, which is something like 2 million monthly unique users now, the connection between those users and what we do to kind of create a sort of symbiosis so that we're always going in the right direction and making sure that everybody's on the same page and that everything that's happening is being communicated clearly back and forth. And it's a huge part of what we do because we're basically we're completely just like it's like any business would be. We consider ourselves a social business, but like any business, we would be relying on our customers, and we rely on the people who believe in Ecosia to support us. And based on that principle, we owe this group a sense of transparency and making sure that our impact is actually having an impact and that we feed that information back to users. So the idea is that users kind of keep us in check and we keep users informed, and that's how this entire project grows and how we actually have an impact and change something altogether in the end.
Yes. What does the word Ecosia have a meaning? How did it come together as a word?
Yeah, that's funny. A lot of people have asked the founder, Christian, about that. But it was kind of just a play on words. Christian actually had a couple other charitable search engines, so to speak, before Ecosia. A couple of them, one of them was called For Russell. Some people still remember it. It's since been redirected into Ecosia. But that actually worked with Google for some time with Google search results. But it was cut off after about a week or so when usership grew quite rapidly from the beginning. And so Christian was quickly scrambling to find another partner to work with. So Yahoo or Bing were the only options, only other options in Germany. And then a partnership started from there. But he was basically just looking for another a name for another search engine or for his next search engine that would allow it to become a little bit more international. This idea of eco is something that sticks in people's minds or that is at least recognizable for the values it embodies. So I think it's kind of an eco-utopia, I think, is where the idea originated, but there's no other real significance to the name.
Because sometimes people have a story behind how their coined term came to be. But
sure.
I think it does communicate. I understand the eco aspect of it immediately, yes. So let's talk about trees. The thing that is most amazing to me about trees is that trees help us breathe. Without trees, we would not be able to breathe. Because what happens is that as we humans and other mammals breathe in, we need to have oxygen. And when we breathe out carbon dioxide. And trees are exactly the opposite. Trees love carbon dioxide. In fact, they eat carbon dioxide for dinner. You know, it's their favorite thing. And they take this carbon dioxide and they release oxygen. So their function of what they take in and what they give out is exactly opposite to ours. And I love that picture, seeing this picture in my mind of I'm breathing out something that a tree loves and a tree is breathing out something that I need in order to survive.
And exactly. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry. No, trees are these incredible things. They're just, they're incredibly complementary to the natural way that we live. And it's so neat to have kind of like a partner in the natural world like that, you know, that kind of cleans up your mess so you clean its mess up, or just this perfect exchange of, you know,
it is a perfect
vital
exchange.
Like you say.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like this in and out. And, you know, I can just see it's in front of me, like a tree in my mind. I can see a tree and me standing in front of a tree And as I breathe out, I'm just going, here, tree, have all this carbon dioxide. And and that the tree is just delighting in giving me oxygen. And I think that most people don't understand where our oxygen comes from, but it comes from trees. It comes from forests. And when we don't have forests anymore, we don't have oxygen. And that's just the way it is. And so, you know, we talk about toxic chemicals being destructive. But there's also things that we need on the positive side that if we don't have them, we're not going to do well either. And so trees are just so important, so important. And I just wanted to say that I love trees and we need to make sure that we take care of them. So,
absolutely.
I have some facts here that I've gathered about, trees and pollution. Do you want me to give those, or do you have some things that you'd like to say about trees and pollution?
Yeah, yeah, sure. You've said a lot. I mean, trees are they're kind of just outside. We see them, but might not really realize what they do. And just some interesting things that have come up lately that have come to our attention, especially throughout working on this program. This fact, like air pollution is killing more people than AIDS and malaria combined in the world, as well as, you know, causing cancer and different things like that. And I think air pollution is also in the same category as tobacco, smoke, UV radiation, plutonium, and things like that. And it's really quite neat that trees, even the ones we plant, you know, like have the ability to clean things up a little bit. And while there are things and lifestyle changes that we could definitely make, you know, the change will come slowly, and things we can do to kind of protect ourselves or the world in different ways, different parts of the world. Something as simple as planting trees, and there's a couple of examples of really neat experiments that have been done to see where, you know, a row of 30 birch trees have protected houses, cut the pollutants in the air by 50% in just 2 weeks or something like that.
Wow.
So, there's a whole array of possibilities in terms of, you know, trees you plant in your backyard, and then it's a whole other slew of benefits when you talk about reforesting the rainforest, exactly.
Yeah. We need to go to break again, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Shannon Smith from Ecosia, and we're going to talk more about trees when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Shannon Smith from Ecosia, and that's a search engine that plants trees to offset the energy used when you're searching. When you sign up with them, they have a little counter that's on the banner at the top of the page, and I have that tells you how many trees have been planted on your behalf, and they've already planted 36 trees for me, and I just have only been using it for a week or so. So that it really shows how much energy gets used, that it's already 36 trees worth of offset. Shannon, are you there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. it's great.
It's a fun thing to do, but it also really raises awareness. It's not just like you're out there saying, well, we're going to plant some trees. You see exactly the number of trees that that are being planted for you. So I'm happy to plant those 36 trees.
No, and it's great. We're so happy that you have. Thanks for helping. Yeah, and it's great. The number up there, it's like it's neat too. Like you say, it raises awareness, but it's also like a collaborative thing as well. It's like the number of trees you've helped plant with people searching at this very moment. So it's what happens when you kind of come together and and then trees get planted. And it's a neat thing as well. It's a program that's been going on for quite some time, and there's a lot of information on the Plant a Billion Trees website about exactly how that's going and the successes they've had with the trees that have been planted in this particular region of Brazil, and how that's, positive impact on the entire world's climate and that sort of thing.
Yeah. So if you're interested in signing up, go to ecosia.org. So that's ecosia.org. I want to just say a few things about the relationship between trees and toxic pollution and what happens. And so the trees will absorb, they help trap and hold particle pollutants, things like dust and ash and pollen and smoke that can damage the human lungs. But they also absorb CO2, as we all know, and other dangerous gases. And as we said earlier, in exchange, trees then provide the atmosphere with oxygen for us to breathe. Now, they actually, if you have 18 acres of trees, now 1 acre of trees will produce enough oxygen for 18 people every day. So that's an acre of trees isn't actually that much, but it would be interesting. Do you happen to know how many trees, like how many trees are needed to supply the oxygen for one person?
That's a good question. If it's 18 per acre, we know the offset for cars, which is quite interesting. It's like, I think an acre of trees. It also depends on the kind of tree. That's the interesting thing.
Right,
a young tree or an old tree or a tropical tree or a temperate climate tree. But I think an acre of trees can offset the emissions of like 2.7 cars for a year. Like if the trees and the cars on the road for that duration of that year or something like that. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, it kind of gives you an idea of what would be needed to counteract for instance, our driving habits. So yeah.
Right. So trees remove gases by absorbing them through their pores in their leaf surface. But here's the thing. So trees are performing this big job of removing particles and gases from the air that we're producing. But, and I find this so interesting. Just think about if you were a tree and you were absorbing all those particles and gases into your body. It's the same thing for a tree as it is for us. When we're exposed to toxic chemicals, it damages our cells. It damages our body in various ways. In the same way, trees being exposed to our pollution are being damaged. And the air pollutants that enter trees damage their leaves, which collect the sunlight and so it damages the process of photosynthesis, which makes food for them, and it weakens the trees, making them susceptible to other health problems such as insects and diseases. So we really need to be looking at the fact that trees are being affected by these toxic exposures as much as we are. That as living bodies, they're being exposed and they're being harmed.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really interesting too, because it kind of points back to that symbiosis thing we were talking about and how all these things are connected. You know, it's like if one part of this environment suffers, whether it's people on the other side of the world or trees, which we just think are kind of there sometimes, don't pay much attention. They're suffering essentially. In the end, we're suffering too. So there's always a cost to that. You know, it's not just the direct effect on our bodies, but it's the effect on the things around us that we're also dependent on. And this is very much true of trees. Absolutely.
Very much so. They also, like living here in Florida, it's hot for 6 months. Hot. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy to have the thunderstorm clouds today. But I'm always looking for trees, because underneath a tree is a lower temperature where we can feel a lot more comfortable, and it's a lot easier for us to live in that way. I'm just thinking, I know what I wanted to say. And now I forgot it again. That's the way it is. Here it is. Okay. So we were talking earlier about how when we breathe out, we create carbon dioxide, but we also need to be thinking about how when we use things like search engines or computers or anything that requires energy, every single second we're producing pollution that is harming trees.
Absolutely.
And so it's like our exhale. It's like our toxic exhale. I had never thought of it that way before.
Absolutely. And people talk about a carbon, you know, footprint. And no matter whether you you're on board with climate change or not in terms of it being an issue, it's still the absolute truth that the things we do have an effect on other things. And just like you say, in the same way that, you know, we breathe out, we breathe in, we take up resources. Every time we purchase something or use something, it has an effect, exactly.
Yeah. We have to take another break, but we'll come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Shannon Smith from Ecosia, and they are a search engine that plants trees to offset your energy use when you search the web. Good thing to do. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Shannon Smith from Ecosia. That's at ecosia.org, and you can go there and sign up for their search engine services, and they will plant trees for you as you search the web to offset your use and production of pollutants from the burning of fossil fuels for energy. Yeah, I have a list here of some of the major air pollutants and their primary sources, and these are things that trees absorb and collect and take out of the air, but also cause damage to trees. And so, again, on the one hand, they're doing this tremendous service for us by cleaning up air pollution, but the story doesn't stop there, because we need to recognize that they're doing that at the expense of their own health. So here are some things, and some of these I hadn't thought about before. So burning of oil, coal, and natural gas for energy. And here's another one is hydrogen fluoride and silicone tetrafluoride. Those are the first one was carbon dioxide. This one is hydrogen fluoride and silicone tetrafluoride, and that comes from steel manufacturing. So when we're using stainless steel pans and things like that, that's creating air pollution. Ozone, which probably everyone has heard of, is the chemical reaction of sunlight on automobile exhaust gases. Driving your car is producing pollutants that are harmful to trees. Let's see, burning fossil fuels. Oh, okay, now here's another one. Chlorofluorocarbons come from air conditioners, refrigerators, and industrial foam. So all these things, it's not just driving our cars. It's not just burning fossil fuels for energy, but every single product that we use and is made, all of them require the burning of energy, and some of them have chemicals in them, like chlorofluorocarbons, that are also pollutants in their own right. So we need to be thinking about the energy use of everything, because every time a product is made, every time we drive our car, I know these are sobering facts, but they're facts. It's like having a toxic exhale out into the environment.
No, that's exactly right, Deborah. I think even just the awareness is important. You know, lifestyle changes can be difficult to make, but the first step is really kind of understanding how all of that works. And just like you described, basically everything we do and use has some kind of connection to these things. And when we recognize that, then we can either start to make changes or start to do things to try and offset what we're doing. But that awareness is so important. Like we've been talking about, trees are incredible. Are incredible weapons against, you know, the harmful effects of all of these pollutants. Of course, they can only take so much too. So it's, you know,
they can only take so much. And I think that it all comes down to, you know, we hear things like terms like carbon offsets in the news, and carbon offsets. I mean, it's really important. But the thing is that you can only trade around carbon offsets so much, that we always need to be looking at, if there's something harmful, we need to be looking at reducing it at the source. And so okay, I'm going to relate this back to the human body, because I think that it all works in the same way. In a human body, if we're exposed to too much toxic chemicals, what happens is that our organ systems start breaking down, that our bodies get overloaded, and then we start getting sick, and eventually we die. And I mean, we're going to die anyway, but die sooner and die less comfortably from being disabled by these toxic chemicals. But the thing is that it's happening out in the environment too. It's happening to trees. It's happening to birds. It's happening to all these different, all parts of the environment. And so we really, really, really need to be reducing our pollution at the source, not only for ourselves, but for the entire system of life on the planet. It really is. So in the meantime, one of the things that we can do is plant trees. But if we still produce so much toxic chemicals that the trees get overwhelmed, and we don't have forests because we've killed the trees, then we're really going to have a problem. And so I think it's best to do whatever we can right now before we destroy the entire planet to reduce our toxic chemical use.
Exactly. And that's, you know, someone had the brilliant visual of, like, you know, the frog in hot water. It's like cold water that gets heated up. You know, the frog doesn't know anything's wrong if it's heated up slowly. Of course, it jumps out quickly if the water's boiling, and it knows it's a problem immediately. But do we want to be sitting in that cold water that's heating up, you know, waiting for disaster to strike, whether it's with our health or with the environment around us that we're so dependent on? And I think you make such a great point about toxicity in general and these products that are produced in a way that we don't want to have anything to do with. You know, like, why don't we take the catalyst out? You know, you encourage people to stop buying them, and they stop getting produced. And that's, you know, one way with the power of consumption, or, you know, consumer's choice, that you can really also make a difference. And just that awareness of how that works, how it affects us, and how it affects the environment is great.
It does. I do want to say that I'm not suggesting that people stop buying things altogether or not have the things that we need in order for us to survive individually.
Sure.
I think what needs to happen is there needs to be a big shift from doing things in the toxic way to doing things in a more sustainable way. And certainly what you're doing with Ecosia is a step in that direction. And it certainly happens step by step. I know I've been doing this for 35 years, and there are still things that I'm learning every day, that there's still always more information, more awareness to have, and another step that one can take. But there, you know, we just keep taking them step by step by step, and then pretty soon there's a big change in the world. I think there already is. Don't you see that we're moving in a direction?
Absolutely. I think, you know, there's all kinds of sustainable products, just like you mentioned, being produced, and people are demanding them, like, especially here in Germany where we're based. And I know it's happening in the States as well, and it's incredible, and people are doing really incredible things. And you see that in our users, too, all over the world. These people, they know what's going on, and they're willing to, you know, make small steps. And that's the point. It's not about guilt. It's not about telling ourselves how terrible we are. It's really about looking at what we can do, trying to understand what we can understand, and taking these small steps as a group, which I think will really add up quite quickly.
It does. Well, Shannon, it's been a pleasure talking to you. We only have about 2 minutes, 3 minutes left. So are there any final things that you'd like to say that we haven't covered?
Yeah, no, I just thank you for having us on, first of all. I think a lot of people don't know about Ecosia, and that's one of the things we hope, is that people like the concept and like the service, and we'll start talking about it, because our strength comes from people, you know, from everybody who's choosing to use a search engine, and that the awareness it creates about kind of our relationship to each other and to the environment and things like that. So, yeah, it's just wonderful what users have been able to do so far. We're grateful and excited, and grateful that people like you show interest, Deborah. That's fantastic, and it's great what you're bringing to light on the show.
Thank you.
That you do with toxicity and sustainability, and we just think that's the only true way forward. So it's exciting.
I think so too. I mean, it's just we have to recognize that what we do affects the world that we live in. and that everything that we put out comes back to us, and that that's just part of the way of life, and that we have the control and the ability to make choices right in our own hands. And every time we buy a product, we have a choice. As I said, I've been doing this for 35 years. I think today, this year is year number 35.
And well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And it's exciting.
It's actually been a pleasure for me to do this work, and continues to be a pleasure, because I'm not focused on the toxic chemicals, even though I need to know what they are and what the problems are. I don't focus on mm-hmm. the toxic chemicals. I focus on what are the solutions, and Absolutely. Just being able to see the world. I just kind of look at the world looking for the non-toxic products, the sustainable products, the better ideas. And I'm always looking for them. And then I'm always just kind of weeding out to see what I can find. So, and that's what we do on the show, is I invite people to be guests who are supplying those solutions like you. Well, thank you so much again, Shannon. And again, that's Ecosia. It's at ecosia.org. And so you can go there. You can also go to toxicfreetalkradio.com to find out more about the show and about our upcoming guests and the past guests, because all of these shows are recorded and archived. And we have wonderful shows, wonderful guests. So go to toxicfreetalkradio.com, take a look, and take a listen. Be well.